It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome to the program. We're glad that you're with us tonight. This is the Virtual Bible Study. We hope you'll stay tuned, and we want to hear from you at 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com.
Hold up, Jacob. Hold up. We're not using that email tonight.
We're not using that email. That's right. What email are we going to use tonight?
Well, if you've been navigating around on a website, you've probably seen some changes there. Our web page host has been going through major technical changes this week, and they've got our website messed up, and we've been negotiating with them the last 2 days.
So we're going to use the hotline tonight?
We need people to call. We can take phone calls, 931-381-4567. Email tonight needs to come to collegeviewcoc. That's all one word. I'll run it all together. collegeviewcoc for Church of Christ. collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net.
collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net or 931-381-4567. Dad, we had a little bit of finagling to do to get the website up at all tonight. And hopefully our listeners won't have any technical difficulties. If you're out there listening, why don't you give us an email just to let us know that it's working at collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net.
Yeah. Many thanks to our good friend Phil Hunt up in Nashville, who did a little workaround for us this afternoon so that we could at least be on the air live tonight. And we appreciate him doing that very much. But again, a little bit different tonight. And another difference that you'll unfortunately see is that we have not been able to update our website content. They knocked us back, I think, to March 16th, Jacob. Our archives since March 16th are not available, and we've not been able to update. For those of you who've been downloading the program in WMA format, you won't be able to do that again for, I don't know how long. Hopefully it'll be resolved in a couple of days, but we're sort of walking lame tonight, Jacob. We're a little bit undone technically. But again, thanks to Phil Hunt for helping us be on the air tonight.
Our website is broken and there's an ant crawling on the mixer. We got tough problems tonight.
we got bugs, both technical
bugs
and literal.
All over the place. That's right. Well, we want to hear from you at 931-381-4567 or collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net. We want to hear from you on the program tonight. We're glad that you're with us. We hope you'll stay tuned. And, Dad, we have an interesting subject planned for tonight. We want to talk about pop psychology, really, I guess, if you boil it down.
Yeah, we want to talk about, well, we want to talk about a couple things, but the first thing that I want to talk about, and I think we discussed this, Jacob, as being a valuable subject, and hopefully we get some good feedback from our listeners. We want to talk about self-esteem. People have been sold the idea that if you're having problems, I mean problems of almost any sort, then it probably is because you have low self-esteem, that if you're discouraged, depressed, if you're having trouble with your relationships with other people, if you're not advancing on your job, if you're overweight, if you're no telling what, almost all problems these days have been related to the supposed problem of low self-esteem. And it has become popular in recent years, Jacob, for, as you said, pop psychologists, but also certain religious teachers to suggest that if you want to overcome problems in your life, the thing you need to do is to elevate your self-esteem. Think more highly of yourself. As I said, in addition to modern philosophers and psychologists, this has been a popular form of teaching by religious teachers like Norman Vincent Peale and Robert Schuller. They say things like you should love yourself warts and all. And what they imply by that is that you just learn to love yourself. You learn to love even the things that are not lovable about yourself. And of course, you can see why that's sort of a popular idea, because it doesn't require you to change anything. You keep being just the same person you are. You don't have to change or improve. You don't have to stop doing bad things. Just learn to love yourself.
It's an easy way around your problems. Just learn to love them. But is that what the Bible says? Do you believe the Bible teaches us to elevate our self-esteem? 931-381-4567 or collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net.
Jacob, we got an email a while back which sort of prompted us to have this topic for our study tonight. And let me read a part of that email. This correspondent says, I was talking to a Christian friend today that is struggling with depression. She is seeing a Christian counselor, but I have some concerns that he is encouraging her to be very me-centered. She said that he told her that she cannot love God or others until she learns to love herself. I had asked her if she was reading her Bible and praying, and she said that her counselor is working with her on being able to do that. She said that he says she can't worship God until she learns to love God, and she can't love God until she loves herself. Well, obviously, now the one who sent us this email was not agreeing with that approach, but her friend was receiving that kind of counseling from a supposed Christian counselor. And again, the idea is you got to love yourself. You got to love yourself more. You having problems? Love yourself more, and your problems will go away. That is the tenor of this kind of counseling that's being offered.
Well, it's a dangerous position this counselor is promoting, that you can't study your Bible or pray until you listen to the counselor and he gets you straightened out. That's very dangerous. But what do you think about our self-esteem? Do you believe the Bible teaches us we should elevate our self-esteem? 931-381-4567, or remember the email address is unique tonight. It is collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net, and if you're listening, why don't you send us a note just to let us know that you're out there to make sure our website is working, collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net. We're glad that you're with us, and we hope you'll stay tuned. What do you think the Bible teaches about depression, and specifically, what about our self-esteem? 931-381-4567.
Jacob, I'm getting a few emails from some folks saying that we're getting out, so we're glad for that. Glad that you're able to hear us. Glad for all of you out there listening on the virtual Bible study. Get involved now. Give us a phone call. Send us an email. Let's talk about this business of self-esteem. Jacob, I wanted to reference a study that I saw a while back. It was a pretty large study. 829,000 college students were surveyed. Now, that's no small sample group. That's a large sampling group. Almost a million college students were question. They were asked to evaluate themselves. Now, what do you think of yourself? Now, if people are having a major problem with low self-esteem, then you would think it'd be reflected in a survey of nearly a million people that you'd see some indication of their having this problem, low self-esteem. Here's what's interesting. Now, remember, 829,000 college students. 70% of those college students said they believed they were above average in leadership ability. So 70% said they were above average. Only 2% believed they were below average. Now, what do they think about themselves? They think pretty highly of themselves, right? Here's another area that was surveyed. Only 6% said they were below average in athletic ability. Only 6%, in other words, almost all of them thought they were above average in athletic ability. Concerning their ability to get along with other people, 60% rated themselves in the top 10% concerning being able to get along with other people. 25% of the people polled thought they were in the top 1% in ability to get along with other people. Now, only reason I'm referencing that study, Jacob, is to show that it seems like that in the modern world, at least in the areas where we live, that low self-esteem is not that huge of a problem. Most people thinking pretty highly of themselves.
If you look at the statistics, it seems to indicate that, Dad, and I think it is a problem that we can observe just by looking at people around us. We are concerned about ourselves. We think that we are more important, the most important people. Just look around you to look at what people think of themselves. They place themselves ahead of everyone else. Obviously, people don't have a problem with thinking too low of themselves.
I think you're right, Jacob. In that email that we read a minute ago, our correspondent who sent in this question had these concerns, said, I'm concerned that the counselor is encouraging her to be me-centered. And that's exactly what our culture is all about. It's all about me. What's in it for me? What have you done for me? What have you done for me lately? It's all about me. And I think that we can show that the Bible teaches just the opposite.
Well, look at the advertisements that were placed in front of us on a daily basis. It's, you deserve this. You're important. You're special. You deserve this product. You deserve this new car.
You deserve a break today.
You deserve it.
Yeah.
You're important. You're special. That thinking, we believe, influences us. What do you think the Bible teaches about that? We want to hear from you at 931-381-4567. Or collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net is the email address to use tonight.
Yeah, that's unique email for tonight. Don't forget, collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net. You know, it'd be bad enough if it was worldly counselors who are offering this kind of advice, you know, build your self-esteem. But as we said earlier, a lot of religious people are buying into it, and a lot of denominational preachers are preaching the doctrine of self-esteem. And, Jacob, I think we ought to go to the Bible and see what the Bible says about it. The right answer to this question is not found with pop psychologists or, for that matter, with denominational teachers. The Bible's going to give us the right answer.
That's right. What do you believe the Bible teaching is on that? We want to hear from you tonight, Dad. I believe the Bible warns us repeatedly about thinking too highly of ourselves. Elevating our self-esteem is warned against in the Bible. Second Timothy chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and the list goes on. But the first thing that's noted there, in the last days, the days that we're living in now, is that men will be lovers of themselves. The Bible warns us that we need to be on guard against that, loving ourselves and elevating our self-esteem.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, Jacob. I've thought of it this way. I think that self-esteem is a problem for most people. It's not low self-esteem being the problem, high self-esteem. The Bible indicates that people do have a problem with self-esteem, and typically it's that they think too highly of themselves, as you just read. Another good verse along that line is Romans chapter 12, verse 3. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul says, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The warning there is not, be careful now, don't have low self-esteem, don't be on guard that you're not suffering from most. The warning there is, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. So, again, what's the Bible saying about it?
Doesn't say to elevate your self-esteem. That's one thing that's for sure. Another verse, Dad, is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, and the qualifications for elders. Notice this warning that is listed, that an elder should not be a novice, verse 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Dad, our pride, our self-esteem is something we've got to be on guard against, and too often, if we're not careful, our self-esteem will be elevated, we'll begin to think we're something special, and the Bible says we got to be on guard against that.
That's right. You know what's interesting? Even the Apostle Paul, as great a man as he was, there was a danger that he would think too highly of himself. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, Paul said he was given a thorn in the flesh so that he would not get to a point of thinking too much of himself. He says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. There was a danger that even Paul could be exalted above measure, think too highly of himself.
Well, what do you think about that? Do you think that we're all wet when we say that we should not elevate our self-esteem? What is the Bible's teaching on our self-esteem? How should we view ourselves? If we're not told to elevate our self-esteem, how are we told to view ourselves? 931-381-4567, or the email address to use on the program tonight is different than usual. It's collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net. We want to hear from you on the program tonight. What about this? Surely you have dealt with people in the past who believe that they need to elevate their self-esteem. Perhaps you have been told that you should elevate yours. What do you think the Bible teaching is on self-esteem? We want to hear from you tonight on the program. We hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back after this.
Don't want to miss what we talk about next. The discussion continues right after these important messages.
Hi, my name is Mike Smith, and I'm a member of the College of Church of Christ on Hampshire Pike. Let me ask you some questions. Do you remember when churches insisted on Bible authority for everything they did? Can you recall when church members always expected a thus saith the Lord? Can you remember when the church was well known for its book, chapter, and verse style of teaching and preaching? Are you upset because the church you're attending doesn't always approach things this way anymore? Does it concern you that elders and preachers don't seem to care about Bible authority at all? We're still trying to do everything according to the New Testament pattern. If you're looking for a church like the one you remember from the past, please visit us soon at the College of Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
Hello, this is Preston Jackson from Valdosta, Georgia, and you're listening to the Virtual Bible Study.
A streaming Bible study. Why didn't I think of that? Now back to the guys.
Welcome back to the program. We're glad that you're with us tonight, and we hope you'll stay tuned. We're experiencing some technical difficulties on our website, so if you're listening and you're just joining us, we'd like to hear from you. Send us a note to let us know you're out there. To question or Bell's CollegeView COC at bellsouth.net, a unique address tonight with all of the bugs that we're having to deal with. That's the address we've got to use. And the phone number remains the same, though, 931-381-4567. And we'd like to hear from you on the phones as well as on the emails. What do you think about this psychological movement going on that tells everyone to elevate their self-esteem? What do you think about that? Do you think that's the answer to our problems? What did the Bible teach us about self-esteem? Should we elevate it, or should we do something else with it? Let us know what you think.
I got an email from Eric Jacob, and he says this. He's referring to the correspondence we talked about earlier where the counselor was given bad advice. He said, instead of a counselor, she should have just given her life to Jesus. As for this counselor having to help her study the Bible and get right with God, Jesus is the only mediator, 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. That counselor is not Christian as he claims to be. I don't need man's advice, only the Bible, but that doesn't mean I couldn't use encouragement from other humans. There is a line we should draw between the role of man and the work of God. I think he's right in that when man's advice contradicts God's instructions. There's the line.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Thank you for listening, Eric. We're glad you're with us tonight.
We got an email from Mike here in Columbia, Tennessee. Mike, we're glad you're out there. He says, he gives us some definitions, some Webster Dictionary definitions. Esteem is to set a value on, to regard with respect. Self-esteem is the esteem or good opinion of oneself. And Webster, notice Jacob, Webster even uses the word vanity for self-esteem. The word esteem, Mike says, is used in Philippians 2, verse 3, where Paul says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. The verse teaches us that we are to think lowly in our opinion of ourselves, and we're to esteem or regard with respect others more than ourselves. I think Mike's right on the mark.
I think so. What do you think about self-esteem? We'd love to hear from you. Now, this is a popular teaching going around. Do you believe it is correct? Do you believe it's accurate? We'd like to hear from you on the program tonight. What do you think about self-esteem? Should we elevate it, or should we do something else with it? If we need to do something else besides elevate our self-esteem, what is the Bible teaching on that? What should we do with our self-esteem?
Jacob, we got an email from Jared in Cookeville, Tennessee, and he says, Luke 18:14 is a good verse to show the results of being humble and the punishment of thinking too much of yourself. Luke 18:14 says, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That's really good, showing that there are potential eternal consequences to this faulty doctrine of self-esteem. We got another email from Preston down in Valdosta, Georgia. Preston, we're glad you're listening tonight. We've been missing you, Preston. Preston, one of our regular listeners. We haven't had an email from him in the last couple of weeks. Preston, we're glad you're out there, buddy. He says that the Bible is the perfect thing to help us out. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, the Word of God will profit us for everything. Christ is the rock which can give us confidence and all the structure we need to feel good and complete. You know, that passage even says that the Word of God is given by inspiration so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to every good work. You can be everything you need to be by following the Word. Preston, I think you're right on the mark.
What do you think? 931-381-4567, or send us an email to collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net. collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net is the address to use tonight. Thanks for listening tonight, Preston. Thanks for your comment.
Jacob, you know, as we were saying earlier, we were referencing some verses, and some of our email correspondents have added some more. It seems that the consistent warning of Scripture is against thinking too highly of yourself, not thinking too lowly of yourself. In fact, I can't think of a single verse in the Scripture that tells us that we need to love ourselves more or elevate our self-esteem. Now, there's one verse that's been misused to teach that, and I want to go to that briefly and talk about that. Matthew 22, verse 39. Now, it's a very familiar statement that Jesus said in Matthew 22. Well, actually, backing up a little bit, a lawyer asked Jesus, Matthew 22, verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, when Jesus made that statement, some people have really twisted that. I think they've used it in just a horribly contorted way. When Jesus said, love thy neighbor as yourself, people said, well, you've got to love yourself. That's a command to love yourself. Jesus is commanding us that we should love ourselves. And so there's the verse that proves that we should have high self-esteem. As I said, I think that's just such an incredible perversion. That's not what Jesus was saying there. Jesus' statement, love your neighbor as yourself, is based upon the assumption that people already love themselves enough. You love yourself enough already. The challenge that Jesus was putting before us was, try loving someone else as much as you already love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's not a command to love self. It's a challenge and a command to try and love someone else as much as you already do love yourself.
So what you're saying is Jesus didn't say you need to pull yourself and your esteem of yourself up to what you esteem your neighbor as. No, Jesus is saying you need to pull yourself down to the level that you would esteem everyone else. You love your neighbor as yourself. You don't esteem yourself up to, you don't pull yourself up to the level you already loved your neighbor. No, you pull your neighbor up to the same level you're at.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, I think that's probably the most popular argument that I've heard by those suggesting elevate your self-esteem.
Well, I think, Dad, we need to go on, though, to verse 40. Notice what Jesus said. How important is it that we have this view of ourselves? He said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus said, if you can get this down, you've got the Old Testament under control. You love God and you love your neighbor. This is how important our self-esteem and our view of ourselves is. Jesus says that was an important thing about the law of Moses. If you can understand that, if you can understand how to esteem yourself, then you're on the right track. That's how important this subject is.
And in this new dispensation that we live under as well, the same principle is true. If you love God first and above all else, and if you love your neighbor as yourself, then you will necessarily be doing all the things you need to be doing. You'll be doing all the things you need to be doing toward God, and you'll be treating your fellow men as you should. You won't be stealing, lying, committing adultery, because you love your neighbor as yourself.
Exactly right. Now, under the new law, as you said, it is just as important. In Matthew chapter 18, beginning of verse 1, the disciples had this dilemma going on. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You know, we heard this all along as the disciples were talking among themselves. How many times do we hear that, Dad? They wanted to be the greatest. They wanted to be the one who was the most important. They wanted to be up on the platform as being the most important person in the kingdom. Notice Matthew chapter 18, beginning of verse 1. And the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said there that we've got to humble ourselves if we're going to be great, Dad. Don't put ourselves up on a pedestal. Don't raise our self-esteem. But Jesus says lower your self-esteem if you can believe that.
You know, this is the same idea that Paul mentioned in Ephesians chapter 5, in that rather famous text where he was talking about husband and wife relationships in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28 beginning. He says, So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now notice what is said there. Paul is saying that husbands ought to love their wives like they already love themselves. Again, that teaching is based upon the presumption that people love themselves enough. Husbands already love themselves enough. Let them try loving their wives as much as they love themselves, and then you'll have happy marriages. But again, he wasn't saying, husbands, now you elevate your self-esteem so you can treat your wife better. That's not what he said. He said, treat your wife, love her as much as you already are loving yourself, and everything will be fine.
What do you think about what we're saying so far? 931-381-4567. You think we're off base? Let us know. If you agree with us, we want to hear from you as well. 931-381-4567. And there's a unique email address to use tonight. If you're sending comments or questions to questions@collegeview.com, we're not getting them. So go back through your sent box there and forward those messages on to collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net. collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net is the address you need to use tonight. We want to hear from you. What do you think about our self-esteem? Do we need to elevate it or do we need to lower it?
Jacob, I would, in sort of summary of what we've talked about so far, I would argue that the great danger for us is not low self-esteem. It's not. I don't know how strongly I can say that. I'm convinced that the danger is not low self-esteem. It's just the opposite, thinking too highly of yourself. There's not a single Bible verse that I know of that tells you to love yourself more. But we've already made reference to several Bible verses that warn about loving yourself too much. And so, you know, again, I'd love if somebody thinks we're off base, or if you disagree, if you have a different point of view on this question, let us know. But this is the conclusion we're reaching based upon what we're reading in the Bible, Jacob.
That's right. We can look at Matthew chapter 20, and let's see, where do we need to begin there? Let's begin with verse 25. Jesus called them unto him and said, "Ye know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of God came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus says, don't put yourself up on that platform. Don't raise your self-esteem. If you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you take on the attitude of a servant, that you don't believe that you're more important than anyone else, but you have the attitude of a servant. We believe that's the teaching of the Bible, not the teaching of pop psychology that tells us to raise our self-esteem. You agree with us? 931-381-4567 or collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net.
Got another email here, Jacob, and I know we're getting close to a break, but let me read this one. What is our life? Is it not a vapor? James 4, verse 14 says, it profits us nothing if we end up getting billions of dollars because we all die and are judged, and it doesn't matter how much you made or how much you love yourself. We need to love the Godhead before ourselves. Put Jesus first and then others before you. Loving yourself, in my opinion, is selfishness. It angers me when people say, well, I finally forgave and I love myself for who I am and I don't care what you think. Well, that is. I think that this email is exactly right. That is the popular idea. I forgave myself. I love myself for who I am. That's this idea. I think I quoted Robert Schuller earlier, the popular denominational preacher who says, love yourself warts and all. In other words, you don't have to change. You don't have to do anything different. Accept yourself as you are. Love yourself like you are. Well, you know, fact of the matter is there's some pretty unlovable things about us, and we need to change those. We're going to talk about that more when we get back from the break, Jake.
That's right. Dad, one more passage before we go to the break, and I think this really sews it up. This is my favorite passage on the subject, Philippians chapter 2, beginning of verse 2. Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. There's your self-esteem. Where do you put it? You put your self-esteem below others. You esteem others better than yourself. I don't know if it's any clearer than that, Dad. And the passage goes on to tell us about Christ and his attitude. Now, remember, the creator of the world that came to earth, notice the attitude that Christ had. Christ had every right to esteem himself better than others, to put himself up on that pedestal. But notice Christ's attitude in verse 5 beginning. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus came to this earth. He lowered himself to the form of a servant. He was not high in his self-esteem, but he was low. And if we're going to be Christians, followers of Christ, we need to have that same view of ourselves. What do you think? 931-381-4567, or the unique email address to use tonight is collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net. We want to hear from you. Stay with us. We're back right after this.
Enjoying the virtual Bible study? Email a friend during this break and tell them to join in on the discussion. There's more exciting Bible study after this commercial.
Hello, I'm Josh Olchin with tonight's Bible quiz question. Do you know who the first person was to judge the Israelites? Who was the first man to judge the Israelites? Stay tuned. I'll be right back with the answer.
Me again, Mike Smith at the College of the Church of Christ. Let me ask you some more questions. Do you remember when the pulpit was used for the purpose of convicting sinners and teaching them how to be saved? Are you tired of preachers who seem more inclined to entertain their audience than to teach them the truth? Does it seem that sermons you're hearing each week could easily be given in a PTA meeting or a social club? Do you remember when sin was called sin? At the end of the sermon, you knew by book, chapter, and verse what the preacher was talking about and why? Well, we're still preaching the old Jerusalem gospel that you read about in your Bible. We invite you to investigate for yourself. Please come and see this Sunday at the College of Church of Christ at 9:30 a.m. on Hampshire Pike.
Hello, my name's Jeffrey Vernon. I'm 13, and this is the virtual Bible study.
Did you know the answer to tonight's Bible quiz question? The question was, who is the first man to judge the Israelites when they were conquering the land of Canaan? If you said Joshua, you'd be wrong, but if you said Othniel, you would be right. Joshua was the leader of the Israelites. Othniel was the first judge. Thanks for listening to tonight's virtual Bible study. Stay tuned for more exciting facts from God's Word coming up next.
Quit checking your email. The commercials are over and the virtual Bible study is ready to roll. Take it away, guys.
And welcome back. We're glad you're here. Josh, we're glad that you're here with us tonight. Thanks for coming and giving us that good quiz question.
I knew that one, Josh. I had it.
I couldn't get you stumped this week, Mr. Quinn.
All right. We want to hear from you. 931-381-4567. Or Bell or College View COC at BellSouth.net. I can't get that right tonight, but that's...
Let me say it again. College View COC. Run it all together. College View, and the view of College View is V-U-E. So it's College View, V-U-E, COC for Church of Christ. College View COC. Put it all together. College View COC at BellSouth.net.
And that's the email address to use. If you send a comment or question to questions at collegeview.com, we're not getting those tonight. So go through your sent box and forward that on to collegeviewcoc at bellsouth.net because we really want to hear from you tonight. We want to know your thoughts on this pop psychology we're discussing.
Jacob, we got an email from a different Mike here in Columbia, Tennessee. Mike, we're glad you're listening. And he has found, he's been surfing the net while he's listening to us, it looks like, because he's found something here from a man named Roger Elliott, who's director of British company Uncommon Knowledge Limited. They train in emotional intelligence, self-hypnosis, solution-focused brief therapy. There's a lot of stuff there I'm not too up on, but he lists in some characteristics of people with high self-esteem. This is pretty strong. Now, he says people with high self-esteem typically they're prone to self-satisfied boasting, tend to be smug and superior, abuse relationships, assuming their needs come first in any situation. If this doesn't happen, they will become angry and bullying. Adopting an air of superiority simply because they have skill or luck in a particular area of life. Being blind to their own faults and so are unlikely to change or improve themselves and tend to have impulse control problems. There is a wealth, he goes on to say, there is a wealth of evidence linking high self-esteem to criminality. And he says, I would much rather spend time with someone who has lower self-esteem than someone with super high self-esteem. They're just generally nicer people. Mike adds to his footnote to that he found on the internet. He says, with those findings, I would challenge anyone to show me any verse in the Bible that would allow those things that were listed above. I think Mike is right. Mike,
well,
appreciate you.
That list is so incredible there because it's like you're reading something out of the Bible. Doesn't the Bible tell us that if we've got higher self-esteem that we'll be prone to boast, or will be prone to put our needs above the needs of others, or that we will abuse relationships, or we'll take an air of superiority? I mean, that's just right out of the Bible.
You know what's interesting? All those kind of findings just sort of confirm that the Bible was saying it all right all along. So it kind of confirms the Bible was right all along.
Now look at that guy there from Britain says about the fact that there's a wealth of evidence linking high self-esteem to criminality. That's what we talked about under the Old Testament, Dad, and under the New Testament as well. If I think that your car is more important to me than it is to you, then I ought to have it, right?
Yeah.
If I think your wife is more important to me than she is to you, then I should have your wife.
Yeah. And so, but the idea, if I love my neighbor as myself, then I wouldn't want somebody to take my car. I'm not going to take his car. It's the so-called golden rule that Jesus taught in Matthew 7, verse 12. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you.
Because I want them to be happy. Their happiness is more important than my happiness, and so if their car makes them happy, I don't want to steal it.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. We've got another email here that says, good question to ask is why? Why do people love themselves? I think they want to excuse away their sins. They want to coddle themselves all the way to hell. A real Christian counselor would say, love Jesus. Give your life to him. Let him take care of your life. And then he quotes an old adage, give God your heart. He'll comb all the kinks out of your head. I haven't heard that one. That's an interesting one. But that leads me to what I think we need to talk about, Jacob. You know, if people feel badly about themselves, a lot of the times the problem is sin. The reason they feel bad about themselves is because they should feel bad about themselves. You know, you do bad things, you should feel bad about that. And a lot of people who are trying to find an easy way out in this self-esteem business is that they feel bad about themselves, and they're looking for a sort of a quick fix, when the real solution is address the problem of sin. Psychologists themselves recognize that feelings of guilt are the primary source of most emotional problems faced by people. A psychologist that we know in East Tennessee has said that 90% of all the cases that he sees have this problem, problems of guilt feelings. Other sources say it may be as high as 95%. Now, realize that guilt can be real and deserved. In other words, you feel guilty and you should because you did bad things. Now, there is the potential problem of imagined or undeserved guilt. We're not talking about that. You know, we're talking about people who feel guilty and should because of what they're doing. You know, the Bible agrees with this view. We could reference, for instance, David. David is an interesting character. We know a lot about him, and we know a lot about what was going on in his head and his feelings because he wrote about them in the Psalms so much. But notice in Psalm 38, David discussed his depression and grief because of his sins. In Psalm 38, verse 4, mine iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. Verse 6, I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day. Verse 8, I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Verse 10, my heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. Verse 17, I can get my pages to turn here, Jacob. In verse 17, he says, for I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. Now, all of those things, David's talking about how bad he felt. Well, David had committed sin and had reason to feel bad. The way he got over that was to repent and
now,
turn to God.
If he'd gone to a Jewish counselor, I guess, in that day, he would have been a Jewish counselor. He would have said, now, you can't do anything about this until you begin to love yourself. Love yourself. It's okay that you've done these things. Just love yourself with all of the blemishes that you have, and you'll begin to feel better. That's not the answer that God gave him, though. God told him that he needed to correct his life, and that's the way that we believe that we should view ourselves as well. What do you think about it tonight? What do you think about what we're saying on the program? 931-381-4567 or collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net.
The only solution that humanistic psychologists and counselors can offer is for people to deny the guilt. Love yourself, warts and all, as we've been saying. They don't have a true answer to the problems that people face. The Bible has the real solution, and that's what we need to be looking at. Jay, I think we could kind of summarize what God's solution is to personal problems and how people feel about themselves. First of all, I think the thing that the Bible would have us do is to get a proper view of ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, notice verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. Paul says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. So what Paul was saying there is that if you're not a faithful Christian, in other words, he was describing someone who's not faithfully serving God. They might have certain abilities, but they're not fulfilling the law of God. And he says, in that case, if you're the kind of person who's, even if you're talented, even if you have gifts and abilities, but you're not living the way God wants you to live, how should you feel about yourself? I am nothing. So if you're not being faithful to God, then you should feel badly about it. You should feel badly about yourself. You're nothing if you're not right with God.
Well, what if you're living faithfully? Can I believe then that I'm some type of superhero? No. Luke 17, verse 10 says, "So likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." Can you say that you're anything when you're serving God?
No. So I said, if you're unfaithful, view yourself as nothing. You just said, even if you're doing everything God wants you to do, still view yourself as
unprofitable servants. Not elevating your self-esteem. If you're an unprofitable servant, it's a low, humble self-esteem.
Humility. That's what Jesus was teaching. Notice this humility in the statement of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in beginning verse 5. He says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." So here's Paul talking about himself and another great evangelist of the first century, Apollos. What did Paul say about himself? "I'm not anything." And he says, Apollos is not anything either. It's all about God. It's all about God that gives the increase. So, you know, again, confirming what we've been saying from the Bible's not urging us to elevate our self-esteem. It's warning us to stay humble.
If you're having problems, perhaps you need to change your clothes. Notice what 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble." We need to be clothed in humility, Dad. That's the idea of having a low self-esteem.
You know, Jesus said in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, at verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Poverty of spirit is what Jesus said is worthwhile, that which we need to develop, that which is going to do us well in the most important areas. We need poverty of spirit. Jesus also taught self-denial in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. It's not about serving me. It's not all about me. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 24, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." It's not serve yourself and make sure that everybody else is serving you too. He says you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him.
That's right. And then a verse after 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 that I read just a minute ago, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." We'll be exalted in due time if we'll humble ourselves now, not elevate ourselves now, but we're to humble ourselves. That's how we can obtain help from God, if we'll have that humble spirit.
And Jacob, we were saying that a problem that a lot of people have is the problem of feeling guilty, feeling bad about themselves, literally feeling guilty because they've done bad things. You know, there's a solution to that. It's not to artificially elevate your self-esteem, and it's not to love yourself warts and all. The solution to feelings of guilt that people experience that makes them feel bad, the solution to that is seek forgiveness, gain the forgiveness available through Christ Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus offers to take away that burden of guilt, but we've got to meet the conditions of salvation and forgiveness. And when we do that, then that cures this problem. It's not the artificial fix of love yourself warts and all. You know, love yourself even when you're unlovable. This is the real fix. You can feel better because you have unburdened yourself by gaining forgiveness, by doing the things that are necessary to have the forgiveness of God.
Well, think about how twisted that is, though, Dad, that we are to love ourselves warts and all. That means when I'm doing these miserable things, I'm to love myself and think that everything's okay. I will then continually behave in this manner that makes me feel bad. And there will be no end to that cycle if I begin to love myself while I'm doing these evil things. Instead, as the Bible teaches us, we should repent and ask God for forgiveness and turn to him. And if we'll humble ourselves, then we will be exalted. Again, the Bible has numerous instructions about lowering our self-esteem instead of raising it, as the pop psychologists are telling us. What do you think? Do you think we're off base? Or do you agree with us? We want to hear from you either way on the program tonight. Remember, that unique email address to use is collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net. Questions at collegeview.com won't get to us tonight, so we need you to use that email address, collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net. The phone number remains the same, and we'd love to hear from you on the phone tonight at 931 931- 381-4567. One more break to go, and then we'll be back. Stay with us.
Did you hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
Hello, everyone. I'm Wade Shelton, a member of the College View Church of Christ. If you're like me, you've probably heard a lot of rumors about what the Church of Christ is all about. But regardless of what the rumors you may have heard, let me just quickly tell you what we are about. The College View Church of Christ is simply a group of Christians that is committed to doing everything that God has commanded us in exactly the way that He commanded us to do it. So we just simply open our Bibles and study them to determine what God has commanded us to do, and then we try to do it. It's just really that simple. Are you interested in being part of a group of people who have this approach to serving God? If so, I hope you will join me and my family as we worship God with the College View Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
Hi, my name is Hunter. I'm 11 years old, and I love listening to the virtual Bible study.
We're waiting to hear from you. Call in right now and join in on the virtual Bible study. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, and we hope you'll stay with us. And we'd love to hear from you on the program tonight. What do you think? Do you believe that we should elevate our self-esteem or we should lower our self-esteem? Give us a call or send us an email, 931-381-4567, or send us an email to bellsouthcoc@bellsouth.net.
You're having trouble with that, aren't you, Jake?
We got to get this.
collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net.
We got to get that other email address.
We got to get our website.
Yeah, it's just it's a broken record with me. I can't change.
Yeah. We've got a couple emails, a couple people who may see things a little differently than we do, Jacob. I certainly want to give them a chance here by email to state their view. Dan up in Indiana says, the popular method of getting self-esteem is by using drugs to help overcome low self-esteem and depression. Now, I think he agrees with us that that's the wrong approach. Now, we might make a point here that we're not saying there is such a thing as clinical depression, and some people have chemical disorders of the brain, and that there are some instances in which people need medicine to get their chemical balance back in the right order. Well, we're not denying that reality, but what we are saying is that's not the notion of artificial elevation of self-esteem. I think Dan's agreeing with us here that that's the wrong approach to use drugs just to overcome low self-esteem or depression. He said, I have found in a disability group I work with that self-esteem with children and adults is improved through successes and challenges that they accomplish. We are told to give an honest day's work for a day's pay. This in itself makes one feel good about the work they've done, what they've accomplished. This will help a person build self-confidence. Self-esteem will come along with that. Well, I would argue that even if... in regards to spiritual things, the verse that you read earlier, Jacob, Luke 17, verse 10, says, if I've done everything that I'm commanded to do, I should still regard myself as an unprofitable servant. I will never, when it comes to God, I will never be able to do enough wherein I can proudly say, look at me, look how good I am, look how much I have done, look how much I deserve, look how much I should be loved. In regards to serving God, I'm an unprofitable servant no matter how much I do.
Now, I think Dan may be confusing self-esteem with peace or knowing that you've done what God expects of you. This idea of honest day's pay for an honest day's work, that is that we have peace as a result of that because we know we have fulfilled God's will for us by working. We understand then that God approves of us, and so we can feel good. Now, we should feel good about ourselves. We should feel peace as a result of obeying God, but we shouldn't think that we're somehow special or somehow better than someone else because we put in a good hard day's work.
Yeah, God wants us to have peace that passes understanding, Philippians 4, verse 6 says. So, yeah, I would agree with that. I don't think Dan's way different than what isn't saying things way differently than what we were saying. And then we got another email here from Tom in New Jersey. Tom, we're glad you're listening tonight. He makes a point. He says, we shouldn't put ourselves down to the point that we fail to do what God knows we can do or make excuses to keep from doing it. And he uses Moses as a reference. He's got a rather long scriptural text, and I won't take time to read all of that, but I think many who are listening tonight will remember that when God called Moses to go to Egypt and bring the children of Israel out of bondage, he started making excuses for himself. The nature of those excuses was, you know, I'm not a good spokesman. I can't speak well. He tried to offer every kind of an excuse as to why he shouldn't go because he just wasn't the right person. He wasn't qualified. And it really made God angry. And God said, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. The Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. So in that instance, when Moses was making excuses, it made God angry and said, I think Jacob there, he was just urging Moses to have faith that he would help him get the job done.
Yeah, I think, and I'm not sure exactly where you stand on this, Tom, but here's my take of what Moses' attitude was. Moses' attitude displayed the fact that he did not have enough faith in God. Now, notice what God's instruction was to him. God's instruction wasn't, Moses, you need to have more confidence in yourself. Moses, you are a good speaker. You need to have confidence in yourself. Moses, you can do it. Is that not the instruction that God gave him? God didn't say, you need to think better of yourself, Moses. God told him to have faith in God, not to have faith in himself. Now, if we elevate ourselves and we begin to think that we can do it, that we are strong enough somehow to do whatever we need to do without any help from God, then we're setting ourselves up for failure. God doesn't want us to elevate ourselves up to a level where we think that we are somehow special and that we have the ability to do things. With God, we are able to do things. Without God, we can do nothing.
You know, Paul warned 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, let any man that thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. And then but then concerning himself, he said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So Paul's confidence was not in his own ability, but that Christ was working in him and through him to accomplish things. Again, I would agree with Tom's email to the extent that we can't be making excuses. We can't, as he says, run ourselves down and make excuse for not doing what we know we could or should do. I would agree with that evaluation for sure.
But I would say we need to elevate our faith, not our self-esteem, if we want to be pleasing to God.
Yeah. Again, I don't think, and I'm not sure Tom's saying that, but I don't think that this is saying, I don't think Tom was saying, and I certainly don't agree that there's any reason to artificially elevate our self-esteem.
What do you think?
We looked at a lot of Bible verses that teach that.
Do you agree with us or disagree with us? There's plenty of time to take your comments. 931-381-4567 or send us an email to collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net. Dad, you mentioned that joy and that peace that we can have from following God's instructions by humbling ourselves and being obedient. Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, in Philippians chapter 4, Paul said in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So if we're in the Lord, we have reason for happiness and rejoicing. But you got to be in the Lord to do that. In verse 7, he promises the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so rejoicing and peace are available. But notice it's if you're in the Lord. Now, how do you get in the Lord? Well, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 27 says that we're baptized into Christ. And so what that's saying is you've got to be obedient to the gospel. And in obeying the gospel, you're in Christ. And in Christ, you have reason for rejoicing and you have peace. And that's what people are really seeking. And so back to our initial email question, in which the correspondent was asking, what about my friend who's been told by her counselor, you got to love yourself more? Well, we've really spent the hour, Jacob, talking about the fact that that's false wisdom, human wisdom, and the real answer is make your life right with God and enjoy the peace and the rejoicing that comes from being in a relationship with the Lord.
Jesus said that the greatest in the kingdom of heaven would be the least. If we want to be great, we should have that servant's attitude. And Dad, that attitude will bring us joy in our life. And we will get down on the level of a servant and we'll lower ourselves in such a way that we place others' needs above ourselves. That's where the true joy comes from.
Yeah, I think that's right. Jacob, you know, in the course of this discussion tonight, we've mentioned the idea of depression several times, and I thought we might just give sort of a quick rundown of some things that people can do to deal with depression. We've already talked about the idea of trusting in God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, he said, I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. So we got to trust in God. God has the answer to all these kind of questions. I know that some of our emails tonight suggested that very thing.
And God also tells us to guard our thoughts, to think on positive things. In Philippians chapter 4, at the end of that long list of things that we are told, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And so if we're going to overcome these down feelings that we're having, these feelings of depression, we've got to meditate and think on the things that God would have us to think on, Dad, not on the negative things.
We've already mentioned, too, another thing key to overcoming depression is you got to get rid of your guilt, and you do that by obeying God's word. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. 1 John 1, verse 9 says, but we've got to meet his conditions. Meet the conditions of pardon. Get rid of those feelings of guilt. That's going to help with your depression.
You've got to be realistic, Dad, in assessing your position in life. We've got to have the same attitude toward that Paul had in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. He said that he wasn't already perfect, but he was pressing on. He was pushing towards that prize, and that's the same attitude we've got to have, Dad. We're not perfect, but we're working daily, on a daily basis, to be what God would have us to be.
There's certainly help. If you're talking about overcoming depression, there's certainly help that can come from other Christians. Galatians 6, verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So you can certainly lean on your fellow Christians, get strength and help from them in dealing with your problems.
And we need to make sure that we learn to deal with our problems, not just ignore them. We deal with our problems by taking the avenues that God has instructed us in His Word and submitting our will to God's, and God will help us deal with our problems.
And still adding to that list of realistic ways to deal with depression, we could expect some setbacks and discouragements. The Apostle Paul was really a strong character and a strong faith, but he needed encouragement. One time the Lord had to speak to him directly and said, be not afraid, but speak and hold not your peace, for I am with thee. Acts chapter 18, verses 9 and 10. And so, you know, there are going to be some down times. Everybody goes through some tough times. Paul did, and everybody else does. We ought to realize that those hard times will come.
And one area also that we should not neglect is our physical body. Medical science has confirmed what the Bible teaches us, that there is some benefit to us in exercise. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says, bodily exercise profiteth little. Doesn't say it doesn't profit anything at all. It profits little, but godliness is profitable to all things. There is benefit to taking care of our physical body. And we're told repeatedly throughout the scriptures to care for our body. And if we allow our body to become in a bad shape, that can contribute to some of the emotional problems that we're dealing with.
Yeah. And also, if you want to overcome depression, I think a strong key to that is get busy, pick yourself up, get to work. A lot of times depression causes people to sort of get in a downward spiral and they end up in worse and worse condition. A good way out of that is get busy doing something positive. And being involved in good things to help others and serve the Lord, that's going to help too.
And finally, one tool that we should never neglect, especially when we're feeling depressed, is prayer. James chapter 5, verse 13 says, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's the attitude we need to have. We need to cast all our care upon God. We do that through prayer, and we need to make sure that we're praying to God, and God will help us through the difficult times we face.
We got one more email came in. Someone, we read that list, Jacob, from that fellow in Britain who was an expert in emotional intelligence and self-hypnosis. We mentioned that. We got an email that says, I agree with that list, but isn't hypnosis witchcraft? Should we be using that hypnosis list? Well, the only thing we were saying, and here's a person not speaking from a biblical point of view, just from a human point of view, who's seeing the same conclusions that the Bible's teaching. So, now I'm not endorsing everything that fellow says or does. I'm just saying here's a man speaking from a humanistic point of view who is coming to the same things that the Bible has always been saying.
That's right. Appreciate that email. We appreciate you listening to the program tonight. We're glad that you were with us tonight, and we hope that the things we've talked about have helped you and maybe giving you a new perspective on some of the psychology that is being told in the world today. Dad, thank you for the time tonight. Enjoyed the discussion with you.
We enjoyed it. It's a good study. I think an important study. If folks have any questions or any other feedback they'd like to offer, they can always get to us by email. Remember, the one that's working right now is collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net. And remember, too, Jacob, I think you're going to be able to upload this for podcasters later tonight, so you can still get it on your iPod in MP3 format. The WMA format that we typically have our archives available in, we're not going to be able to upload that content to the website, at least for the time being. Hopefully we'll get that fixed right away.
And Dad, let's also make note that if any of our listeners have a subject that they'd like discussed on the virtual Bible study, we're open to discussions, and it would help us plan the programs in such a way that we know our listeners will be interested in the topics we choose. If you're interested in studying any subject on the virtual Bible study, send us an email to collegeviewcoc@bellsouth.net. That'll work right now.
And it'll always work.
It'll always work.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you if there's any subject you'd like to study.
What we did tonight, Jacob, was to take a question that had been sent in, and we sort of talked about it all night. We'd be glad to do that on other topics that people think would be important for us to discuss.
So give us some feedback. What would you like to study? Let us know via email. Thanks again for listening to the program. We hope you'll make plans to be back here next week for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. In the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.